This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, April 5th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, Reverend Whitson. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Tanya.
Thank you for being here. And also with us is James Coleman. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good, good. And over here is Pete Chavis. How are you, friend?
Fantastic, thank you.
Good, good, good. And Uncle Mo, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've had my coffee for breakfast. I've had my cigar for lunch. You know, it's starting to be a good day so far.
Well, now you're going to have your Tanya
yes.
Free and Friends.
And there we have it.
There you go. And also working behind the scenes is Mira White, Marcus Evans, and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today. I want our listening friends to join a conversation. We welcome your comments and opinions. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. Or you can download on your TuneIn app to listen to us on your phone. Also, too, if you want to watch us on your phone, you can dial 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM-FM 247 Network. Let's talk a little bit about the primaries on last night in Wisconsin. Ted Cruz got a little bump on last night, and Donald Trump, I think he is beginning to take a slot. What do you all think? Uncle Mo?
Well, Cruz got a little bit of a bump, yeah, but I think the story is more so the decline of Mr. Trump. He's not being exposed; he's exposing himself. He's doing an unbelievable job of.
Who's that, Cruz or Trump?
No, Mr. Trump.
Okay.
He's doing a great job of exposing himself. He's a walking soundbite, and he's punching a lot of holes in his own bucket. There's still a lot of people, a large segment of the country that are falling behind him what reason, I'm not too sure. I don't even want to speculate into that. That's probably not something we can get into on the radio, at least not from my mouth, it's not. But I see you picking the lesser of two evils between Trump and Cruz. To be honest with you, pick your poison.
Okay.
Both will kill you eventually, but, you know, you take your choices.
Okay, Pete?
I think we'll have a slower death with Cruz.
There you go.
Mr. Trump is an entertainer, and he's a very fine entertainer. And we all like entertainers. And I think because he's good at his craft, he's convinced a lot of people that what he's saying is true, even when he's not saying it.
Okay. James?
Each time there is a primary, the results is shocking, especially the support Mr. Trump is getting. But I think based upon the most recent episode with women and
right. The
remarks he's making, I think at the end people are going to realize that to have a person of his demeanor,
mm-hmm.
it would be a detriment for the country. So, you know, especially his viewpoints on different people that's not of the white race. I think, and especially remarks he's making about women, it can be to his demise.
Okay.
At least I hope so.
Reverend Wilson, do you think last night was an indication that this is the implosion of Donald Trump?
As a matter of fact, it was an exposure of him prior to last night. It just last night was more evident that the mindset of the people the mindset is changing. And the reality is we're getting to the point that people do not want a lot of fluff. Yes, the entertainment is there,
mm-hmm.
but now they want to hear some real issues and how you respond to those core issues. As you stated earlier, the lesser of the two evils. But Donald Trump is shooting himself in the foot. And the reality is that he did from the outset. And so now people are giving more attention to his shortcoming on last night, more so than Cruz receiving the victory.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And then we've heard talk about the Republican Party really do not want Ted Cruz. And there's rumbling that even when they get to the convention, that there may be still a shift. Who do you all think that they may try to step up to the plate?
I don't know. At this point, there's no telling because, as we all know and have witnessed, the Republican Party is pretty much a mess, and they're really just trying to get it together. So it really amounts to a crapshoot,
okay,
in my opinion.
I think the Democratic Party is a mess as well.
Yeah, well,
from a different standpoint.
From a different standpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Democrats a little bit. Bernie Sanders had a good bump last night as well. And Hillary, you know, I think she pretty much knew that she was not going to do well in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think she went on to New York. But I hear some rumblings with, you know, that she may have some trouble in New York as well. One of the things that Bernie Sanders, I think he's going to try to hold on to is the fact that New York is looking at or is doing the minimum wage, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And Hillary was for $12 an hour. So you know he's going to play that card. How do you all think that's going to pan out with her on that? Let's start on this side this time.
Yeah. In terms of the minimum wage, it's not going to have too much of an impact, be it $12 or $15 for Hillary. I think it's a matter of Bernie being a New Yorker, mm-hmm. and the people can resonate with him being a native son, and Hillary being a transplant. I think Hillary has her work cut out for her, but on the other hand, people really have to know who Bernie is.
You don't think that's going to have an impact if people see that she was originally for $12 and now she is making a switcheroo and going to 15, whereas Bernie was behind 15, you know, from the start?
More so than she's a politician, a masterful politician, and she listens to the voices of her constituents. So there's no problem in starting out with $12 per hour, but the people say we want 15. So the politician in her say, okay.
$15 I think those hard workers that are working hard, they could care less about her being a politician. And they want that additional $3.
Yeah, yes, but I'm speaking of her as a politician.
Okay.
Moved from $12 to $15.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Because that's what the people are crying, $15. So wisdom said $15 because okay. She's a masterful politician.
Jane?
You know, it is our hope and desire that the $15 an hour would become true. However, I went back last night and I looked at the history of minimum wages. And starting from 1938 until now, the current minimum wage is about, 7-8 per hour?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to be careful not to get sucked into things that's just not going to happen. I truly do not believe that the minimum wage is going to increase from 7-8 to 12 or 15. $12 seems more realistic than 15, even though, I think people getting caught up in, it's needed. However, is it going to happen?
Well, it has happened in California.
California, but the United States, look at from 1938 until now, the dollar amount since,
mm-hmm.
it increases. It has never done it. Even for the first 12, 13 years, you can add the amount of it increases.
Right.
And it still wasn't $15 per hour.
Okay.
You understand I just think people getting caught up in rhetoric and things that people are saying because they are, the money is needed. However, I don't really think it's going to happen because it have never happened. If you look at history, you know, so I'm saying don't get caught up in foolishness.
Okay.
You know, people making these false promises that may not happen. Let's look at some facts.
Well, it has happened in California.
California.
They've already signed the bill for that. And they will start the increase starting on next January. Mm-hmm. And by 2020, they will be up to $15 an hour.
Okay.
So New York is the next state that is following suit with that. But let me go back. We're going to come back to that. Let me go back to the Republican Party for one. Carmen wants to know how a black could vote for Ted Cruz. Anybody want to respond to that?
No. No. No.
Oh, I think you're right. That's all the response we can give is absolutely no.
No.
I think you may have African-Americans voting for Trump before voting for Cruz?
Well, if you're African American and you're going to align with the Republican Party, like I said a little while ago, you're gonna take the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. You don't have a legitimate individual running in your party. I mean, it's like you got a bunch of substitute teachers and no real lesson plan. You're not going but so far with this thing. So who are you willing to align yourself with that's going to do you the least amount of damage? Mm-hmm. If you're an employee or if you're in the part of the working force, you're going to try to align yourself with somebody who's talking about these economic zones and what they can offer us, et cetera, et cetera. If you're an employer or somebody who's producing, you got issues of taxes. You've got the economic growth. There's a lot of things to consider in there, but I don't see anyone in that party right now that I'm willing to even say, you know what? I may consider this person over this. Kasich makes the most sense out of right. all of them. I think he's carried one state.
Yeah. Right.
The one he grew up in pretty much.
Ohio.
Outside of that?
Well, that's where he's the governor. But see, the thing is this. He's the only one that has had substance. Everybody else has been talking about stuff really most of us really don't really care about or is not priority.
Right.
You know, immigration, abortion. If nobody hits that magic number,
this contested caucus thing has got a lot of push behind it. This Republican National Convention, where they're going to end up basically going the old school route and picking somebody off the floor for the most.
Right.
That's must see TV. Right. This is where Don Trump excels in. He's an entertainer, as you said. Mm-hmm. He's a P.T. Barnum of sorts. Don Trump is the only person in the election right now who cannot lose in any level. If he loses the election, doesn't make a difference. His stock goes through the roof, mm-hmm. as far as finances
is
concerned.
And the other thing he could do is take his voters or his base with him.
I don't think he wants the base.
Well, I don't think he wants to be
president. It's about that dollar. Exactly.
I think he's achieving exactly what he wants to achieve.
Absolutely.
And what's
absolutely.
That?
Well, you know, more money, more money, more money.
Come on.
He's a businessman first.
Yeah. Okay.
JetFuel is expensive.
Well, let me read some of the comments. Curious said, how can I choose between a socialist and a liar? Kate said, I'm a Christian and I'm black. I will not support a candidate that supports abortion. I believe Cruz has been the moral background we need in a president. Okay. Leon said, down goes Trump. Brian said, Bernie appeals to young voters because he lies to them. Free college, free this, and free that. Talk is cheap. I am with Hillary. Let me say something about that. Yesterday, they had a lot of problems with voting in Wisconsin, and they have a new voter ID law where you have to have, almost everything under the sun. They had a couple people that had driver's license from another state as a way of moving there. They had people that had veteran ID, and they were all unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it so difficult to vote? I mean, that should be one of the easiest things you should be able to do. I mean, and this law has made it so difficult, and a lot of other states are beginning to adopt that same thing. Why is it such a difficult task just to vote? Just to, you know, it's a right and to vote your voice, to let your voice be heard. Why is that such a burden? I just don't understand. What is it? What's the big deal? What's the problem?
It is a contemporary poll tax. It's a means of keeping folk away from the polls to vote. And so when you begin to speak of identification, there are various means of impeding the overall process,
mm-hmm.
particularly those individuals who are capable of voting, intelligent enough to vote,
right.
know who to vote for or vote against. So they do anything to impede that process. And so I used the phrase contemporary poll tax tactic.
Right.
But they're just using a method to keep folk away from the polls.
Right. You have people waiting in line over 2 hours. I just don't know if I would have stood in line for over 2 hours. That's just a bit too much, way too much. Felicia wants a Democrat that opposes abortion. Anybody on the
Good
panel?
Luck. So I don't think the whole abortion, opposing abortion, I don't see that as the root. It's you're giving an individual the right to make their own choice, the pro-choice piece. I read it earlier today. Somebody posted it. I think somebody posted it today. It's the pro-choice piece. It's not that I'm saying I'm for abortion. I'm all for ending the life of an unborn child. That's not the point. The point is the government should not be jumping into the situation where a woman makes a choice for what she feels is right for her. Right. I know I'm going to get some backlash for that, and honestly, I'm not concerned with that at all. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is a woman makes that choice. Right. If men, Bernie Sanders said it earlier, if men could get pregnant, there probably would be no talk about abortion laws and what the issue is. Hey, the government's going to make a choice to say you can or cannot abort your child. If men could get pregnant, you know what? That wouldn't even be a topic on the
ticket. And then they tied. Using from a religious standpoint, that's the thing.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay. And as far as Wisconsin's concerned, I don't understand how the voting irregularities. I heard about that as well. There's a very large Muslim population in Wisconsin that's eligible to vote too. Just FYI.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's large.
FYI. Let me see. Where are we? Brian said Bernie appeals. Okay, we got that one. Mark said, can anyone give a reason to support any of these loser candidates? I want to vote for someone, not against someone. That's a very good point. Chester said, love watching the show. Thank you so much. On YouTube, you stream today during my lunch hour. Okay, enjoy your lunch. Longtime listener said, the Republican clown car is going to crash. Looks like it. And Tanya said, you and the panel predicted Dump Trump campaign would work. Yes, it is. I believe that 100%. So, but I am really very afraid with regards to Ted Cruz. He really does scare me a great deal, a great deal. It's just something about him, and the party's not happy with him. It's just something about him that's just very, very sneaky that I hope they do select someone else. Jeb Bush, I can even go with Marco Rubio at this point. The thing is, I think that Ted Cruz, less of the two evils, I would go with Trump. I know everybody's going to have a fit about that, but something about Ted Cruz that just bothers me a great deal. So, any other points you all want to make before we move on to the next topic?
I think you made a good point.
Before we move on to the next topic. We're going to go back to the $15 an hour because I think there's a lot to be said about that. You have a lot of people that are working more than two and three part-time jobs. And that's one of the reasons why young people are suffering. You have all of us are suffering from health issues because you're working yourself to death and cannot, properly rest, cannot properly feed yourself, make ends meet. So going up to $15 an hour, I think, is a major breakthrough. The question is, what would be the downside to that? So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Today's praise break is I Stand on Your Word by Jonathan Butler, sponsored by Inspiration Radio, 1510 AM, 97.9 FM, covering New Orleans and the Louisiana Gulf Coast.
I stand on your promise. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My faith is weary. I believe. I believe. For I know that you will answer. I believe. I believe. I stand on your word. I stand on your promise. I stand on
Hey, bestie. You know Jeremiah is returning to that awesome Achievers Academy summer camp full of football camps and dance and martial arts at 1731 Wall Street this year behind Richmond Christian Center.
Is that the one where the fee is only $110 a week?
$110 free field trips and lunch.
And they also take a DSS, correct?
Yep, DSS, and the hours are 7 to 5:30, and the number is 804-231-2121.
804-231-2121.
Call right now. Space is limited.
Big John Trimble here to invite you to listen to my show, heard 6 to 9 each morning, Monday through Friday, right here on WCLM Radio. We play real country, bluegrass, 50s rock and roll, and comedy. We feature trivia contests and over-the-fence chats with our listeners and recording artists. If you'd like Dolly Parton, Conway Twitty, and Alan Jackson, or maybe Etta James, Nat King Cole, and the Platters, then you'll like the Big John Trimble Show. Now back to Tanya Free, and by the way, if you're a blues and jazz fan like me, stick around here for Tanya's jazz program coming up.
Real Brother here, reminding you of our new time, 10 a.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com, YouTube, and New Orleans Talk Network. We're the alternative to conservative, but all racist, Marxist, Donald Trump, and Bernie Bro bot nut opinions are welcome.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Brought to you by Black Trade Lines, helping you build trust in your community. Real Brother here, reminding you of our new time, 10 a.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com, YouTube, and New Orleans Talk Network. We're the alternative to conservative, but all racist, Marxist, Donald Trump, and Bernie Bro bot nut opinions are welcome.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Brought to you by Black Trade Lines, helping you build trust in your community.
Go straight to the phones. Reggie, how are you, friend?
How you doing, dear?
I can barely hear you. Can you all turn it up a little bit? Give me a little volume. Reggie, we can't hear you. Okay. Reggie, can you call back? We're having a little difficulty here trying to hear you.
Yeah. Well, can you hear me
okay? We got you. We can hear you now.
Okay. Well, it really troubles me about Bernie Sanders, and it's close to my heart, and this free education. You know, it's like a snake oil salesman. Nothing in life is free. And when it's the detriment of the HBCUs, it really bothers me. And we caught hell, no pun intended, on the President Obama administration because of the Parents Trust grant that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people keep telling me, well, why should I vote, Reg? You know, because every time we try to vote, it's business as usual. Can y'all help a brother out so I can give him some information?
Okay. Thank you, Reggie. Tell everybody to listen to your show.
Hey, every Saturday from 11:45 to 1, and we're going to have a tape show, so we'll be not live this week, but we'll be telling them to listen to your great show.
Well, thank you. Listen to you as well. Anybody
right,
want to respond
you.
To that? Okay.
Reverend,
no
quick.
Reverend, you need to respond to that one. Well,
well, thank you.
Welcome.
I thought about the story of imperial control. Mm-hmm. And according to the biblical story, it was when God gave permission for the people to part. And we are under capitalistic control, and that the dollar speaks, the dollar controls, the dollar directs. And we need a different mindset. And their mindset is to listen to another source.
Okay.
To depart from this controlling factor in our lives, this capitalistic attitude and disposition. And so it doesn't matter whether it's $15 or $12. It doesn't matter whether they give us extra work to do. The reality is that we're in a culture that the bottom line is productivity and maximizing profits. And if you're not a part of that equation, then technically you are not of great worth, except when you know who you are in God and you do not rely solely or primarily on this capitalistic system. Speaking of education, we have to find another way to educate our children, quality education. When you begin to speak of investment for the business folk, we've got to find a way of galvanizing customers to support our enterprises. You speak of our leaders, we have to find a way of challenging our leaders to be faithful and dedicated to our constituents. Apart from that, our leaders, those who are a part of the capitalistic system, are under the control of this system. So they got to find a way to depart from this to create a new direction, a new sense of worth. Because if they do raise $15 in New York, where do they go from there? Do they still work two or three jobs?
Well, let me ask you this. How do you all feel about that? I'm just going to go around the table, just ask that question. How do you all feel about the minimum wage being raised to $15 an hour? Let me start with...
Start with me. Start
okay,
with me.
Go ahead.
There you go. There it is.
$15 increase, what are the offsets? Will they increase the insurance? Will they increase the taxes? Will they increase services or paying for services, such as dumping the trash, such as water? So how will they offset it? Because don't forget, we are in a capitalistic culture.
Right. From a business standpoint, like you were saying, nobody's going to absorb the cost. It's right. Going to get bumped from one to the next.
Yes.
And it usually bumps downstream. Now, it doesn't
like
usually
you said,
go upstream.
Right.
There is, I mean, well, honestly, you're right, find a way. But I'm just here to tell you right now, this is just from the seat I'm in, there is no way.
There has to be a way.
I understand that, but you know what? There's not one evident today. And
well,
the way,
you're speaking
the,
from
and
a
it's
business
gonna,
standpoint.
I'm speaking clear from a business standpoint, and I'm speaking I'm speaking from both sides because I've been in a situation where I know what it's like to meet them bank on bills.
Yes.
I mean, and from where we are, the economy has not taken a significant upgrade to tolerate a $15 or that type of substantial minimum increase. There is going to create a large hole in the bucket where there's money there that is going to be coming out of your producers' pockets. And I'm going to tell you now, no one producing is going to absorb that cost unless the federal government mandates it and it goes that direction. Now we bleed back into this election piece because one of the big ideas behind the Republican Party is small government,
right?
Big business.
Right.
Big business is going to tell you flat out, you're not touching my profit margins by increasing the minimum wage.
Right.
We will systematically increase on maybe a small percentage all the services that it takes to produce your paycheck.
Yeah.
If you want $15 an hour, you know what? The government says we got to do it. We'll do it. But what does it take to get that $15 an hour to your pocket? You either have to upgrade what you're doing or we're going to start downgrading some of the services that it requires to get this thing done. If it, like you said, if it, the cost of dumping the trash at a restaurant, you know what? We got to bring somebody here to come pick that trash up. So now we're going to take, hey, XYZ company who refuse company that comes to pick up our trash, you were paying me, let's say, $200 a week. It's going to cost you $225 now.
Right.
$25 increase is not a big deal. When you do a $25 increase for every truck that runs out there every single week going around there, I make up my money probably to the tune of making a little more money than what it would take to give you your $15 increase. So it can work.
Right.
And I agree that, you know, the living wage has got to increase because people are suffering.
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
No business is going to sit back and stick their chest out and take that bullet to reduce my profit margins. Number one. Number two, what also comes into play is you have got those companies who are not these big super producers. A lot of those companies, when you mandate $15 an hour, they're going out of business. Mm-hmm. And okay. Some of these people provide a quality service and a much needed service to the community, which just opens it up for the larger companies to absorb your small business, right. Maximize their profits even larger, right. And still find a way to snake around there and not pay the dime. Right. It's not, in my opinion, it can't happen.
Right. Yeah, because okay. Most small businesses are operating on a very slim margin. And if you're operating on a very slim margin and you get incidentals, if an incidental pop up, that takes your profit right there. And you just don't have, as a small business, you just don't have that much to work with.
It could put you in the red.
Yeah, it would.
Okay. Let me go on this side.
My concern would be regarding the individuals who normally get those jobs.
Right.
Because what happens when the minimum wage increases, then you're going to have individuals with college degrees applying for those jobs, mm-hmm. then what's going to happen to all those individuals that normally get those jobs?
Right.
So I will be concerned
right.
about
what,
that.
What's going like to happen to those individuals who normally get those jobs with this 15, with the minimum raise being increased to $15, robots? You go into the hospital and there's a machine that transport the medicine.
Yeah.
It's called
room to,
well,
they're going to call it efficiency.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes. And I'm all for that.
Well,
make the job easier.
That may not be a good example for the mere
increase
fact
in
that usually
marks.
If you're working in a hospital, you're making, probably, I'm quite sure, more than $15 an hour. Let's talk about a fast food restaurant. And you have a person at a behind the counter, you know, serving French fries or whatever the case may be, and they get $15 an hour. Now, that is going to probably be an issue. Like you said, James, those persons probably will not.
Yeah,
they're going to be affected
yes.
because
yeah.
at that point you're going to likely hire. People
I'm going to have a. I'm going to have
professional,
a,
and the person that you hire not only going to be serving French fries, they'll be manager. They're going to be doing
yeah.
multitasking.
I'm going to have a UVA right. first year graduate, working fries.
Yeah, and,
yes.
and they're going to be doing three or four jobs
yes.
in that restaurant.
That's, just to that's, guarantee efficiency and productivity,
right?
So I can maximize my. I have to be able to get my $15 an hour's worth
right.
of
exactly.
work out of you. Because let's just be honest with you. You don't want to hear it, but everybody around here who's working at that level, people are not putting out the work quality that we used to in this country. Mm-mm. You are simply sitting on the clock. You're not putting forth the work. Your work ethic is poor.
Well,
and
that's what
$15
now will do. $15, I think customer service will increase.
No, $15 an hour.
Think so?
$15
no,
an hour is gonna no. is gonna demand the work quality increases,
right.
but it will not drive your workforce to get more to increase their productivity.
Okay.
Your workforce is gonna say, "I'm getting paid more now to do the exact same job." And if I wasn't working hard before now, c'est la vie, I get paid more dollars an hour. I mean, more dollars an hour to flip the same burger at the same level I was doing it. You're not going to see $15 an hour, let's say hypothetically, come in the city of Richmond, and now people at Hardee's are working their butts off to get their burger out that window. That's not going to happen.
Well, like
it's
I said, it's going to be it's going to the quality
Bingo.
Of person that's going to be hired, I think, is going to think more about that job for the mere fact that they're making $15 an hour now.
Right.
And
you would
that,
think so.
Well, that's what
I'm
mean.
Just talking
in
about human.
Theory,
I'm
that's
about,
good, but
I'm talking about just
reality,
talking about just basic human behavior.
Work that way.
Basic
right.
human behavior is not going to do that.
Okay, well, let's go to the phone. Stuart, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Good.
Yeah, I just want to weigh in on a couple of things. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the whole situation with the $15 an hour. And what people got to keep in mind is that $15 an hour is not going to be nationwide, first of all.
It's not going to what? Can we get a little more volume?
Nationwide.
Yes, can you hear me?
Is that nationwide? Right. California has done it thus far, and New York is getting ready to do it.
Right. And my point is, you got, like, you pretty much familiar with a lot of those places got a higher cost of living.
That's true.
So that $15 an hour is not the same. It's probably equal to maybe $10 an hour in Richmond, Virginia, and, you know, and the like.
It's closer to 12.
The other thing is when people get to talk about the economy and productivity and things like that, that's more theoretical. And the reason why I say that, I myself, you know, had to work a second job and humbled myself when I had to work a second job. And it's been a long time since I worked in these so-called minimum wage low-end jobs. And I can tell you, unless you've been doing it recently, it's not just flipping birds and doing one thing.
Right.
A lot of these people that run these businesses, believe me, you're going to be multi-purpose. You're going to be multi-purpose. And the face of the people that work in these places are adults. You have some young people. And so it's not quite what we think it is. And the other thing I want to bring up, too, as far as spending is concerned and helping the economy out, middle-class people and working people spend money. And so if those people's wages are increasing,
bingo,
that's more money that they're going to put back into the economy.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Go to Walmart, go to Food Line, you go to any of those places. Wealthy people don't shop there. And so that's the part that I think people need to look at, too. And as far as the private sector is concerned, people keep saying the private sector does this, that, and the other. And don't get me wrong. Government is going to have to start out being allowed to have some more input. And private sector is going to have to step up and partner with government to stimulate these economies and create some jobs. I mean, you know, that's really what's really going to happen if people are serious about helping working people. Because it's obvious what's happening with the private sector. They're beginning too much incentive to keep on doing what they're doing.
Right.
Then people get dependent on the government for health care and things like that. We can't have it both ways. I just wanted to make that point.
Okay. Thank you so very much. We appreciate that.
But even with job creation, you have to think in terms of whether it's full-time employment, part-time employment, what kind of benefits, what kind of perks that goes along with this quote-unquote job creation. And I think the way this culture is, this capitalistic society, is that, yes, folk will get jobs, but most likely they will be part-time jobs where they lack the benefits, like health benefits.
And that's very
like
true.
Time off. They have to work over 40 hours to almost make something equal to maybe 25 to 30 hours. So it's more than just theoretical. The practical aspect of it is that companies will hire individuals where they do not have to provide those kinds of benefits such as health care, time off. Individuals are forced to work 7 days a week
and
maybe 2 days off.
And usually you can see that from the professionalism or non-professionalism and the customer service. And I say that from the standpoint, I've gone some places and the person that was serving me looked like they could care less whether they got fired in that very second or not. And I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be spending my money here. Yeah. Go ahead, James.
I have a thought that a lot of companies are going to be downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably older than most of you here. I remember back in the day when there were certain jobs was not meant for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when they increase the minimum wages, we can go back to those days where you saw our faces were not in those positions. So, we kept, you know, again, I'm for the minimum wages. However, I think that a lot more thought need to be given how it will affect all of us, especially people with less experience, less education.
Right.
Okay. Hold it, though. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Thank you. with Freedom Marketing. Text the word ADVERTISE to 63975 or give them a call at 844-321-1010. That's Freedom Marketing, 844-321-1010.
Reclaiming the Drum, WMXP 95.5 FM. Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
This is Tanya Free. Summer can be a difficult time for families of youth with behavior problems. Many kids with behavior problems just cannot make it in a traditional daycare or summer camp. But there is an option. Call my friends over at the Metropolitan Day School today, 804-321-2595, to see if your elementary or middle school age child is eligible. Breakfast, lunch, and transportation provided. Limited slots. First come, first serve. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595. The Metropolitan Day School, where Eagles Soar.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. That's 800-708-3091.
Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia at 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
James, you were making a point when we left to go to the break. You want to finish making your point?
Yeah, well, I believe that by increasing the minimum wages, and I'm for that, however, I'm also looking at the effect it's going to have on less experienced, less educated individuals. And I think it's going to increase poverty. So it's almost like a double-edged sword.
Okay.
I'm for it. However, I'd be more concerned about the number of people that will lose their jobs because of the increase. Because when they increase the minimum wages, they're definitely going to decrease the workforce.
Okay, well, somebody asked this question. Are you all for the $15 an hour? You think it should be done? Or if not, why? Or how do you think it should be done? What do you all think? I'm not clear. I think what you all are saying. I'm just trying to not sure I'm clear. Yeah. that you all are saying that you're not for it.
I want to so bring
just
it home.
I just want to, okay, bring it on home.
I want to bring it home to you. A workman is worth their hire. There's no doubt about it. This gentleman brought up a good point. As an employer, if I can get a gym for $15 an hour, I'm going to get the gym rather than to get the cut glass. That's just a fact. And any other businessman would do the same thing. And in effect, it leaves the very people who need that money, it still leaves them out the door.
Okay.
Now,
I agree with you there.
Now, no one here is saying that we don't believe that a workman is worth their hire. What we're saying is to just say, let's increase the minimum wage without offering, especially small businesses, a way to do that, I think is probably not well thought out. Because I'm a small business. The first thing you did, you tell me that if I have over 50 employees, I have to provide insurance for all my employees. Well, has anybody checked how much insurance costs?
Okay.
It's crippling.
Okay, I got your point.
And now you're going to tell me, okay, well, on top of that, you have to raise your minimum wage to $15 an hour. And as a businessman, my question is, well, how are you going to help me do this? The answer is going to be, you own your own.
Right.
Okay, so the question would be now, what happens or what needs to happen with the person that you're saying would be out of a job, James, the people that you were saying now that will, once the minimum wage goes up to $15 an hour, employers will be hiring more qualified or more professional people. That's going to really create a problem for those people that will be out. It defeats the purpose. You know, we were trying to help the persons that currently have these jobs, you know, by bringing up their minimum wage to $15 now. Because like you said, no one is going to hire someone now, you know.
You better get educated.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you raise the minimum wage,
bet what you're telling is you're telling businesses, companies, agencies, whatever the case may be, that you will take a hit to provide for the greater good. To make sure the economy stays at a viable level, we need to stimulate this economy, and you're going to do it by paying the general populace a percentage wage increase higher, in some areas substantially higher, than what it was previously afforded. Now, from that standpoint, yes, for the population, that is excellent. And, you know, all you're going to do is you're going to give that money right back to the government anyhow. It's going right back where it came from. So they're happy. But that producer, that company, they're going to lose out on a lot. So to make sure they don't lose out, what you're going to force these companies to do is to start making some drastic cuts and start bringing in individuals who they can guarantee, to a certain extent, there's no guarantee in anything, but to guarantee a higher level, higher quality
productivity.
Level of production productivity. If Virginia's not going to go 15, to my understanding, I don't think that was the talk.
Right, you probably got some states that won't. But I mean, and if it does get to be on a federal level, $15, we are now at $7.25.
Yeah, let's just say for the sake of the argument, Virginia talks about 15. All right, at $15 an hour, the minimum wage is now at 15. You're going to have the local. Let's say the restaurant industry, like the McDonald's, not the restaurant, but let's say your fast food. And that was the big monster here for a little while. The fast food industry was really up in arms about $15 an hour, or let's say the $15 an hour. If you go $15 an hour, a lot of those people who are in there complaining about they want $15 an hour, the restaurant, they will have to go to $15 an hour, but it will not be those people who are there.
Currently there.
You're going to be hiring folks who are pretty much coming out of college as hotel restaurant management majors to come in and run this thing. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, the customer service goes through the roof. They're putting out a better quality product.
Right.
To the people who are patroning those locations, the restaurant profit margins still going to be probably stable. They may go up a little bit, but the people who were fighting for that will never see a dime of that.
Right, and that's the concern that I have. The people that are currently in those jobs.
And I'm not giving you my views. I'm just being a realist right now.
Okay.
Right. I'm just being very honest about it.
That is probably what hasn't been thought out. Let's go to the phones. Real Brother, how are you?
Oh, doing good. Thanks for having me on the phone. It's really good discussion. The brother, what he just said was right on point. the minimum wage should be the minimum wage as per the cost of living. So Obama raised the federal minimum wage to $10.10 for federal employees and people that have contracts with the federal government. He got Walmart to raise their minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. So if you raise the keep the cost of wages, the minimum wage, to the minimum, but adjust for inflation, as inflation goes up, then the minimum wage goes up, then that way it's still the minimum wage, which allows people that are coming into minimum wage jobs to work those jobs, all right? And you're not taking away the incentive. Now, you guys are getting it totally wrong with Bernie Sanders. Socialism doesn't have a minimum wage and a maximum wage. Socialism has one wage. So what Bernie's proposing is that you guys go down to $15 an hour, that Oprah and Obama go down to $15 an hour, because everybody gets paid $15 an hour, because that's socialism. You still haven't looked up socialism, and you're ready to make this idiot president? The $15 wage is everybody's wage, not the minimum wage.
Okay.
In socialism. In socialism.
I'm going to do some research on that one, real brother.
But thank you. Find out what socialism is. There is no maximum wage. There's one wage.
But in terms of minimum wage, the reality is many of those persons who may or may not lose their jobs, they will not be employed full-time, number one.
Right. But don't trip on that, though. Brothers, don't trip on that. Because if you work 20 hours a week, then you can get unemployment for your other 20 hours. So if you're only working 20 hours a week, then you still qualify for unemployment. So if you're working 20 hours a week at $15 an hour, then you qualify for unemployment for $20 a week at $15 an hour. You understand what I'm saying?
So don't trip off. I wasn't knowledgeable of that.
See, we gotta tell the truth and stop lying.
If you don't work 40 hours a week, if you work 39 hours a week,
you still get unemployment for that one extra hour that you don't work.
So what happens after your unemployment runs out? Then what?
Okay, now after your unemployment runs out, then you start Facebook. Then you go to get another job. But if you're working 2 years at $39 hours a week or 20 hours, see, that's unrealistic. Who does that? Ain't nobody doing that. If you are able to pay your bills with a part-time job, then you have a part-time job. If not, you get two. Come on, we got to be real. Ain't nobody that stupid. If you work 3 or 4 hours days a week at one job, then go get another one at the same part-time.
Well, that's what I said. People are working three and four part-time jobs, real brother.
I don't have another job at one McDonald's. There are 100,000 McDonald's. That doesn't even make sense.
Okay, real brother, we got it. Tell everybody to see your show.
The point is,
okay, you can listen to the Real Brother Radio Show at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube and New Orleans Talk Radio Network. It's the alternative to conservative.
All righty. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it. Go
ahead. The point is, we have to work through this whole process of this $15 increase. Secondly, many of those persons will work part-time, which says that they most likely work 2 or 3 jobs.
Right, two and three part-time jobs.
There's a variable in this equation which we have not addressed.
What's that?
And there's a group that will work less than the $15 minimum. I'm wrong. There's a group who are working less than $10 and $15, where many individuals who could work are not working.
Okay.
And I'm not angry with that, because when you talk about business, you want to maximize your profits.
Right.
And I'm not a business person, but I'm speaking from the standpoint and from the perspective of one who perhaps is not well-educated or have a BS degree or maybe a 3-year college degree. You're talking about an everyday person who's seeking some employment. I'm speaking from that perspective. And the reality is, why hire me for $10 when you can hire someone else for $7?
Right, I understand that.
And so education is important, but when we look at the climate of what's going on now, we're dealing with folk where education is not significant, a large percentage of the population.
Yeah, because you have folks that are educated, that are working the fast food because they're trying to make ends meet.
Yes.
Yeah. Tanya, what about consumers? I'd like to meet some of those folks who are dedicated enough, who have a degree, who's working at McDonald's, who really won't a better life for themselves.
Right.
I've run against people who have told me that they were working these menial jobs, and when you offer them more than double the pay, and you give them the opportunity, they fall way short of what they promised.
That's because they realize they got to do double the work, and they don't want to do that. You want to keep getting, you want to get that increase in your pocket and keep the same level of work going on. If I, just to piggyback off to Mr. Chavis, that's what I see a lot of. And, you know, $15 an hour, let's be honest. You know how long it took me to get to $30,000 a year? That's $31,200 a year. Now, I'm not saying you get rich off of that, but let's not be mistaken.
But that's double what you were making before from seven, if it was seven.
But you're doing a $7 an hour job with a poor work ethic. Now you want $15 for the same work? You must be out your mind. You're going to be on the blocks
what about
quick.
Consumer spending. The point I'm going to drive home is when you increase the minimum wages, they're going to decrease the workforce, which will have an impact on consumer spending. I'm just looking from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
I am for that.
Right.
However, I don't think it's realistic to jump from $7 an hour to 15. What I'd like to see programs created simultaneously with the increase in wages for education.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We got to go to Black Talk Commentary with our skin, Scotty Reed.
One down to you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth. And this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now I find it's only in my dreams. And I can change the world. I would be the sunlight.
Arizona Senator John McCain is having trouble explaining a recently disclosed $1 million donation by the Saudi Arabian government to a nonprofit bearing McCain's name in 2014. The website for the McCain Institute for International Leadership first reported the donation was $100,000, but the IRS filing show an amount of $1 million. Federal law prohibits foreign donations to political campaigns of U.S. politicians, but watchdog groups say they are getting around the law by donating to the nonprofit organizations connected to U.S. officials. When asked about the ethics of the Saudi donation accepted by the McCain Institute for International Leadership, Senator John McCain said he has no ties to the organization but has honorary roles. The McCain Institute for International Leadership was started with $8 million left over from McCain's failed 2008 presidential campaign, and since then he has actively fundraised for the organization and attended at least one conference hosted by it. McCain got testy with reporters who asked him about the hefty donations, and he quickly moved to shut down follow-up questions from reporters. McCain's foreign voting record as it relates to the Middle East are reportedly very pro-Saudi. Bill Clinton recently claimed the Clinton Foundation accidentally accepted money from foreign governments who were negotiating with then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, a definite no-no according to watchdog groups. The Clinton Foundation received $500,000 from Algeria in 2010 while that country was lobbying the State Department for an increase in weapons export authorization, which they eventually got, and is cited as just one example of several such cases. President Obama and congressional leaders have yet to speak out on the loophole in current law that allows foreign countries to circumvent the spirit of the laws intended to prevent influence buying and peddling in the federal government. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary on Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. Join me and other independent media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Tune into Just Jazz on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Join me, Ty Bailey, as I showcase the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's all right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
This is Tanya Free. The Capital Area Health Network is Medicare and Medicaid approved. Caring and dependability are the principles we live by, providing you and your loved ones with quality dental, medical, and pediatric care for over a decade. That's why the Capital Area Health Network is the heart of the community. Now with extended hours at the Northside Medical Center, 2809 North Avenue, from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. We are here for you. Call 780-0840. That's 780-0840. Accepting most insurance plans.
This is Earl Bradley asking you to tune in to WCLM 1450 AM radio to Capitalism Rules on Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30 AM. This show will expose the influence of money throughout the United States from top to bottom and how to make capitalism work for you. So tune in on Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30 WCLM 1450 AM radio.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
James brought up a good point during the break, and he was asking which, how does it work if the federal minimum wage is $7.25 and if California has passed legislation that the minimum wage is $15, which one rules? I don't know from a legal standpoint. So if we have any attorneys or legal persons out there that can answer that question, please give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Or if you're not in the state, still can give us a call, 844-321-1010. That's a very good question, James, as to which one would the businesses follow, the state legislation that's just been passed, or can they just follow the federal? Because if they follow federal, what's the purpose of the state increasing it to $15 if they're not going to follow it?
And I have another question. What does raising the minimum wages to $15 an hour does for a person's motivation. If I'm making $15, why should I strive to do anything better?
Well, wait a minute. If you are paying somebody $15 an hour, I think that they are going to have to step up to the plate, because then the business will have a whole lot more pickings of persons that will be willing, or you know, to do work for $15 an hour, whereas working for $7 an hour, the opportunities are not as great. So I think it changes the dynamics. When you say $15 an hour, you're going to have a whole different level, I think somebody said earlier, of persons that are willing to flip a burger or clean a, you know, a hotel or whatever. I think that changes the dynamics when you increase it twice.
So it get back to work ethics. It's get back into whether you'll provide quality service, quality work, and when you get that increase, and not only and give you a responsibility to work in one area, you're going to have to become multitasking.
Well, think about it this way. If you have a person that works three or four jobs to make ends meet because they're only making $7, when they can work one less job and they can make $15, I think they're going to put forth a much greater effort to keep that job, so to keep from having to work an extra job.
Sure.
So I think that's going to change the dynamics as far as service and, you know, work ethics.
What it's going to do, my daughter or my son who just graduated from college, is going to make me tell him to go get that $15 an hour job. And what does that put that other person? Because my son and my daughter, they're coming in with professional degrees. And, you know, it's really a catch 22, and the idea is really great. But I want to fall back on something that the Reverend had said, especially as it pertains to certain communities. I believe that, and this is my opinion, I believe that in the African American community, if we were to galvanize ourselves and come together with the massive amount of dollars that we spend elsewhere, that job creation would be automatic, because it would be a byproduct of our spending in our own communities. Now, no one really wants us to do it. That's why it hasn't been done. And I'm old school, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. I was not a proponent of integration. Segregation was all right with me. I just wanted equal opportunity, because integration provided others the opportunity to come in and dismantle our neighborhoods and our economic system. And that was by design. That was intended. And it happened. Our little corner grocery stores used to be people that we knew. That's where we did our business. Everybody we did business with was with who we knew. And I think each one of us sitting at this table could name numerous business people in our neighborhoods as we grew up that were familiar to us. But that dynamic has changed. If we were to bring that dynamic back, we wouldn't be having this discussion about $15 an hour, because we would be we would have an economy that other people would be drawn to. That's fact.
And we would be in control.
And we would be in control.
Rather than an imperialistic, capitalistic system.
Excuse me.
Another thought I have is, what happened to the economy baseline? What make you think, when you increase the minimum wages, that the economy baseline won't be raised to match the minimum wages? Just for sake of argument, that when you increase the minimum wages, the economy going to raise, everything going to raise.
Right. Go up. All right, okay. That's it. And then you're right back with me. Let's go to line one. Earl?
How y'all doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing just great. As part of one of my professions, community development consulting, to answer the question about the $15 versus federal and state, y'all are right on target. The state is going to mandate its $15. The federal also uses what they call this Davis-Bacon, okay, meaning any federal government contract, when they hire the person, they have to hire them at the minimum of $15. That's skilled or unskilled labor. Now, when you get into the As y'all was elaborating in reference to this college-educated person, there's also the same thing federally. There's a range of that particular scale, and it's the same thing in the fair market. So if you're the taxpayer dollars in the state and it's $15, that is specifically dealing with basically skilled and unskilled laborers at that $15 an hour. As you stated about the person working at McDonald's, that's what you need to step back and look and see what's going on. Then look at this, too. In y'all discussion, we've discussed about inflation. Well, has there been a pay raise? So look at that, too. And then thirdly, this is where I don't take – I'm not offending y'all, but I want you to take it from this perspective. If I worked at McDonald's, I was offended by y'all conversation because y'all were saying that the work that I'm doing – is not skilled, I'm lazy. This is what I was just hearing. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, wait a minute. They're turned down. If it's a $15 person, that person is not up to speed. That person is not professional. That person is not wanting his job. I think it's about the inflational rate increase more so than it is the characteristics of the worker. And that's what I was hearing in your dialogue. And I was like, wow, okay, so if I worked at McDonald's, I don't care, and I could just flip burgers and this and that. I think we have to have respect, as the Spirit tells us, of everybody's job, because there's many members in the body of Christ, and there's no big one, there's no small one. So $15, federally, would mandate any federal government contract that is $15. Statewide, that's the California saying in this state, $15 is the minimum wage for that. So that's the difference in what you're speaking of, but I will caution y'all in reference to describing the discussion about the minimum wage. When you put it in the sense of whether or not the $15 folks are worthy of to get it, that's a rough thing, Chief, but just wanted to tap that to you.
Wait a minute. Earl, tell him about this to your show before we respond.
Everybody ready to jump. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, praise God. Well, I'm here to take in any feedback. I come on Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30, and it's called Capitalism Rules. And what it is touching off of what you do, Tanya, which is we discuss the issues, the processes, and what is and isn't available. And on the show, we're going to show you how, through the federal law and through the state law, how you make these things benefit to you and then proceed forward. So that's how we're dealing with it, not just complaining, but saying, but you see, y'all said every Wednesday, I listen to y'all. Y'all give and point folks to where they can get their resolution, which is the regulations and the procedures. But nobody wants to learn them. Okay. I'm telling y'all, but I'm being dismissed. When you go there, you're going to see how my brother said galvanizing our money. When we go there, we would then pick up the banner that Dr. Martin Luther King stopped underneath the Hood Act of 1968. Okay. The programs are there. The discrimination laws are there. We got to make them work for us and stop running from them.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Who's going to be the first one to take I think Earl's concern?
For me, when I spoke of the $15 increase, it was a matter of work ethics. And you don't learn work ethics right there on the job. It's a part of who you are. And that is developed either in your early childhood, adolescent years. And it's not so much that the person was not worthy of the $15, but it's a matter of the work ethics and the quality of service, because there are some individuals who have extraordinary work ethics regardless of the income or the pay salary. And that was my reference in that context.
And just to piggyback on what you just said, my reference was more of the eligibility or qualification. The person would be eliminated, not saying that a person who's currently working a $7.50 an hour is not as qualified. However, my belief is that we would be eliminated because they will look more towards people with more experience if they're going to use that as a criteria for selecting a person for the job. Right. Not necessarily means that a person that
that's currently on a
job is
not
less
worthy. Right. $15 an hour.
I think that's where I was going as well. But I'm gonna go the next piece with it, because the truth ain't got no friends. Let's just deal with what it is.
Yeah.
If you're coming in and you're looking at that kind of increase, just from my perspective, and people are more than willing to chime in if they need to, but you're not going to develop a stronger sense of work ethic with a pay increase. Yeah. you're going to, as a producer, you're going to go out and go open the doors for people who have that worth, that work ethic, and attach that dollar amount
right.
to the individual. It does happen, yes, but it's not as prevalent as you think to have somebody who goes from a significant, almost a 50% pay increase, going from 7 and some change
exactly.
to 15 and some change. I don't think that's going to be what it's going to be here in Virginia. But the bottom line is, if you take that kind of a percentage jump, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to jump for joy. But is the work quality going to increase? If the answer is no, you will find individuals writing themselves effectively out of that American dream, because you are going to be unemployed, because they're going to find someone else who can come in and do the job at that amount that they're going to feel can produce it at that level.
We'll be willing to at that
right.
level.
If I pay you $30, if you're doing $15 an hour at 40 hours a week, you're a little over $30,000 a year. You know what? That's first year out of college entry. Matter of fact, it ain't even first year, because teachers don't get $30,000 coming into the classroom okay. like that. If they do this, it's within the last 10 years. You know, I was a high school teacher. I came in 10 years ago. I was doing $28,800. And you're talking about a position that is responsible for, as the retainer or the container for the most sensitive population in this country, our children's education. And they put you at $28,800. And you're talking about somebody as a service level job at a local restaurant doing $15 an hour, which is more than what that first year teacher made a little while ago. And is their work ethic going to increase? From that owner's standpoint, if the work level is not there, you're gone.
Right, exactly.
And I will find someone in here who can and will do it with a smile and great customer satisfaction to make sure that I'm getting my money's worth out of the work that we're putting forth.
That's right, and that's
that simple.
That's my sentiment. You know,
hold on, we've got to take a break. Today's Smooth Jazz Break is All the Way Back Home by the Jazz Crusaders, sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School.
I'm Chocolate Chip, and this year I've been in radio 40 years. That's a long time, 40 years. But I'm speaking from the heart on this subject. You know, when I started in radio, there were a lot of black stations, and even in 1997, years after I started, there were 284 black stations out of 15,000, over 15,000 radio stations. Now in 2016, there are just 68 black-owned stations. And the truth of the matter is, you know, they've been sold. They've been sold. And a lot of times, big businesses or businesses that have a lot of money will not spend money on black-owned stations. They'll spend it on white-owned stations that have black music, but not on black-owned stations. So the truth of the matter is, this radio station, in order to survive, in order to stay here, needs some funds. We need to upgrade our studio equipment. There's a new tower that's needed. And in short, $25,000 worth of equipment. Or $25,000 would take care of what the station needs to remain a radio station. And we just don't have the funds right now. So what I'm saying is, that if there is not something done, then we probably won't be here anymore. And if you like this station being right here, and if you are in a position or in any type of position that can help, then it will be greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated, because we do need to upgrade the studio equipment and we need a new tower. So I'm just saying that that's what needs to be done. If you would like to be a financial blessing to the radio station, make all checks payable to WCLM Radio, 3203 Hall Street, Richmond, Virginia, zip code 23224. And if you like our radio station and you want us to stay here, then help is definitely needed. Thank you for your time.
On your computer, in your ear, and interactive. It's new, it's innovative, and it's on your mobile device. Android, iPhone, iPad, and on your computer. Take us wherever you go. Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Here's why. Dish has the nation's lowest TV price, along with an award-winning DVR that can skip commercials, record 8 shows at once, and get access to thousands of movies at your fingertips. Cable simply can't even compare. So the smart choice is to cut the cable and get Dish. Plus, you get all these great TV features, free HD DVR upgrade, free installation, and free movie channels. Say goodbye to cable and get more with Dish TV. 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. As an added bonus, you can switch to Dish now and receive a $50 Visa gift card. So call now and get Dish TV. Call 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. That's 800-818-3967. Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification required. Cancellation fee, monthly equipment fees, and other restrictions apply. Promotion can change at any time.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We're going to go straight to the phones. I want to welcome my friend Don P. from Inspiration Radio, 1510 AM, 97.9 FM. Hello, friend. How are you? Is he there? Don P? Can anybody hear him? Because I can't. Okay, we must have lost him somewhere along the line. Okay, well, let's let my technical people get it together. Hello, Don P?
Hey, how you doing? Tanya,
can
you
hear me? How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just here at Inspiration Radio, man. We just launched a new station and went online, so listening to you guys today and just around the station doing the things that we normally do, getting ready for a big Faith Impact revival that we're doing with a couple of churches tomorrow. I'm listening to you guys, and I know I wasn't supposed to call until 2:40, but I had to jump in there.
Okay, well, then we want you to talk about your station.
All right, well, definitely. Well, we can talk about the station in a second, but one of the things that I kind of want to jump in, I was listening to your guest panel speak, and first thing I want to do is say hello to everybody on the panel and give my blessing. But I was listening to your guest panel speak, and honestly, it kind of had me, I kind of was in disposition because I couldn't possibly understand anybody that's trying to build a family, trying to grow a business, that's trying to have a successful and productive and progressive family in modern day society, be against raising the minimum wage. And it's kind of crazy. And I was just sitting there listening to all these different reasons that everybody was giving. But for a younger person like myself, basically what it sounds like to me is just the older generation that already have lived their life. They have their money set up. They're on that plateau. It's easy for them to come up with all of these different reasons and all these different excuses of why the minimum wage shouldn't be raised. And it doesn't make sense because bread is not the same amount that it used to cost. Gas is not the same amount it used to cost. A mortgage is not the same as it used to cost. So
education
has went through inflation, and I don't understand how do you expect people to survive. I mean, if you look at statistics, the areas in the nation that have the highest per capita income are the areas in the nation that have the less crime.
Okay, that's a good point.
And it's simple as that. If people can't make a living off of working a 40-hour week job, then the alternative motive is they're going to make a living some kind of way.
Okay, that's a good point. Let me give everyone on the panel a chance to respond.
Now you stated a 40-hour week job, and I think for the most part, we were making reference to individuals, particularly in the food service industry, who would not work 40 hours a week. They may work 30 hours a week or 35, something like that. And the reality is that many of those persons work two jobs.
Well, a lot of them work more than two jobs.
Yes, more than two jobs or more, which may or may not equal to the 40-hour week. And I think that's what we were addressing.
No, I think from my experience, the majority of those people that work part-time is because of the fact that they're working part time because they're not making enough money
on a full time
job, right, or they can't find a full time job
to afford to live. I mean, it's just not a living wage. Like
right.
if you add it up and then you add up the amount of income that it takes a person to spend to live, it's just not a living wage. Most of the time, that's way beyond the living wage.
Right, you're right, Don P. Because I was looking at a couple of statistics, and they said, it actually said that 75% of persons that are part time are usually living below the poverty level. And you know they're struggling to make ends meet. They do not have benefits, no paid leave, health care, and that sort of thing. And like I said, a lot of them are working three or four jobs, and people sometimes think that because you're working part time that you choose to work part time, but they can't find full time work. You know,
correct.
and they're working three to four jobs to try to make ends meet. You know, because they cannot find full time work.
Or it could be a single mother that has children, and she has to work the type of job that she can also also be at home to tend to the kids. I mean, there's several different reasons why people work 30 hours instead of 40 hours. But the majority of the people that's working 30 hours instead of 40 hours generally is because they have another job, because it takes two jobs to have a living wage.
Right. James, let me give James a chance to respond.
I'm not sure which guest panel it was, but he was talking about the fact of the matter that his kids coming out of college would be the people that because the minimum wage, it goes all the way across the board. It's not just service industry workers. Everybody thinks that it's just service industry workers. And the other thing about the minimum wage that I like to mention, too, is it's not a black or a white thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely
that's not a black
not.
Or
You're
white
right.
issue.
You're
it's,
right.
It's the fact of the matter that you want to have people that can survive. You want everybody to have the opportunity to possibly be able to survive. And it's like when you start talking about the college kids that's coming out of college, you're like, oh, in all actuality, what happens is if you raise that minimum wage, what happens is also all of the other jobs in that particular area, the salary will raise in that area. If you look statistically right now, if you look at the states that have a higher minimum wage, I think Massachusetts is one of those that you could Google and look up really quickly. They have a higher minimum wage, but if you also look at the per capita income of Massachusetts, they have one of the highest per capita incomes in the nation. The reason that is because if you raise the bottom, then automatically what happens is the top goes up too.
That's right. Not true.
Right. Well, no. He's saying no. Usually that's what happens.
That's not true.
You have teachers coming out of college with a college degree to teach and getting paid less than $30,000 a year. The reason that they can do that, and if you look at the places where that happens in the areas where the per capita income is the lowest, Virginia, Louisiana. If you start looking at those southern states, Mississippi, that per capita income is the lowest, and the teachers make less than $30,000. And it's a shame that somebody can go to college for 4 years and working with the most vile group, age group.
When it comes to education, that's because the states
and making that amount of money.
That's because the states in those locations actually allocate more per student. The state receives more funding, and they allocate more money per student in those states than they do somewhere like in Virginia. In Virginia, they don't allocate the same amount of money as you would in Massachusetts, so the teachers up there can actually make more money. But they're also, the cost of living is much higher. So when you go and you want to look at it scale for scale, they're paying much more up there to live than what you are down here, than what they would down here where we are in Virginia. So the money is going to end up balancing itself out.
In my experience, is my past experience, I lived in Atlanta before I lived here. I lived in Atlanta 10 years.
Uh-huh.
The per capita income is probably almost twice what it is in New Orleans that it is in Atlanta. And that's the same thing that everybody was saying before that. Even my dad was saying that, and different people were saying, well, the cost of living is going to be more in Atlanta than it is in New Orleans. In all actuality, I mean, there's some items that you could look at and you could say, well, these items are a little bit more expensive in Atlanta. But when you balance everything out, I think you have a much better opportunity of having a better lifestyle in Atlanta than you do New Orleans. And that's from my personal experience.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is I think a lot of times it's easy for people to come up with that excuse of, oh, well, it's going to balance itself out. But until we do the mathematical equation and actually look at it, I'm not sold on that.
Well, the math has been done. That's why the minimum wage in certain areas is the way that it is. People are able to do what they're doing where they are, and the government's just not going to throw a bone out there to increase somebody's income coming in without the numbers being done. They've actually done that in certain locations. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not opposed to an increase in the minimum wage. From my standpoint, I'm looking at it very objective. I'm just looking at it across the board. I do have my own personal views, and I see what you're saying. I really do. But $15 an hour across the board, at least in, let's say, where we are in Virginia, I don't see that happening. I don't. And as a business owner and as a producer, it increases the cost of production.
I don't know if I'm necessarily sold on the $15 an hour across the board. I guess that's a mathematical equation that we would have to look at.
That's $30,000 a year, though.
At the end of the day, if you look at how long the minimum wage been the minimum wage, and you can't tell me the cost of living haven't raised since that minimum wage was the minimum wage that it is now. That minimum wage has been the same since I was in high school. And that was almost 20 years ago.
Mm.
I wanted to clarify, if I had the opportunity to vote today for the minimum wage increase, I would.
Okay.
However, you have to look at across the board, pros and cons, and the adverse effect that if it happened, what would happen, especially, and my point was more of the adverse effect to have on individuals with less education and experience, and the poverty level will increase. I'm not saying that I wouldn't vote for it, because
right.
I would. However, I think it's a mistake a lot of times, and I think this was Mr. Sanders' success, is making
false fallacies regarding free education, minimum wages increase. Those things are nice to hear. However, is it realistic?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that's going to have to go into getting that accomplished, to include making sure that companies can sustain themselves with a $15 increase. Like I said to the young man, I am a business owner. I'm not this, you know, old guy, established kind of thing. You know, I've worked my tail off to get where I am, and I haven't made anywhere near where I want to be. But I do know what it takes to get a business to run and have it work productively. And I can tell you, in the industry that I am in, a $15 minimum wage in the state of Virginia, you're going to cripple a lot of companies, because a lot of companies who get their money set to what they do coming to them from the federal government,
you decrease the profit margin. Without even trying to make it work. That's
you're
where
correct.
I have the problem.
You're correct, and I did.
And that's the part that bothers me. You're shutting it down before you even try to make it work. You have people, and I agree with Don P., you have people now that need an increase. It's crazy for people have to work 3 and 4 jobs to make ends meet.
I agree. That is absolutely crazy. It's
and
inflow versus outflow.
I know, you know, when I was working, I worked full-time along with a part-time job, and how difficult that is when you're trying to raise a family and you spend time with your children, and it's just crazy. And for people now to be working 3 or 4 jobs, I don't see how they do it. Don P., stay with me. We got to take a break, okay?
I'm going to stay with you. I want to stay with you.
Music for Mom, featuring the Virginia Airs of Chesapeake, Virginia.
You should have been there. You should have been there. Oh. Save my soul.
Faithful Connection.
You shouldn't miss me from singing down here.
Lee Walker and Spirit of Richmond. And special guests, Julian Bunbury and Renewed Strength. Sunday, May 8th, 4 p.m. at James Monroe High School, 2300 Washington Avenue, Fredericksburg. With special recognition of military mothers, those in the military, children serving in the military, or mothers with spouses serving our country will be admitted free. General admission, $10. Get your tickets from any member of the participating groups. For vendor or ticket information, call 804-590-6846, 590-6846. Cavell Phillips will be your MC. One thing that always puts a smile on my mother's face is good gospel music.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
Pick up the latest copy of the Heart and Soul of the City newspaper. Read about the black woman who said that Bill Clinton is the father of her son. Read about what's going on with the new Creighton Court redevelopment. The Shallow returns in this issue. And also, read our black history stories. This and much more is in the latest edition of the Heart and Soul of the City newspaper. Now, you can also read it online by going to heartandsoulofthecitynewspaper.com or either go to WCLM radio website. The Heart and Soul newspaper, the little newspaper with the great big old news.
Boy.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Ugh, boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. Again, 800-605-4650.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
I just want y'all to know I've been arguing with everybody on my panel. We've been arguing during the break with this, about this $15 an hour. I've been trying to make them see the light, and it is not working today. It is not working. So, and you know, I want to go to Miera, who was talking about, you know, her situation, and she's about the only one that she, you know, she and I agree. Miera, about this $15 an hour.
I agree that we should get $15 an hour.
There you go.
Well, I've been working for a company, a retail company, for 5 years, and it seemed like everybody that comes into the business, they get paid more than the people that have been there a long time. It's been people that came in like a year ago, and I've been working here for 5 years, that's getting paid more than me. I can do their job, so why am I not getting paid the same or getting paid more than them?
And you said you get like $0.25 or whatever?
I get paid, well, my raises be like 25 cents every 3-9 months. What is 25 cents?
Exactly.
I go to school. I get help from my parents. I do get help, but they pay my tuition. I'm on my own with my cell phone bill, my car insurance, my personal needs. I got to pay that by myself.
You work full-time or part-time?
Part-time.
Part-time,
I work
part-time.
Okay. I can work full-time if I wanted to, but I'm a full-time student, and it's like I can't balance both of them at the same time. I want to get good grades and don't want to have to, you know,
right,
have to be writing papers, and then I got to hurry up and go to work, and you know what I mean? I want to have a part-time job and be in school full-time. But I think it's unfair for the people that actually, he mentioned effort. I put my effort in.
Right.
I work multiple departments. Sometimes they switch my position, and they don't give me a raise at all. But it's not my right to complain because I want to keep my job.
Right. So $15 an hour would help you a great deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it would.
Yeah.
I also applied to multiple retail jobs, and they're not looking for experience. They're looking for, I don't know what they're looking for, actually, because I applied to retail jobs, and they're offering me less than what I get paid now. If I have 5 years of experience in retail and you're offering me $9 an hour and I get paid $11 an hour now, why would I quit my job to work for you?
Right.
Right.
That
so
makes no sense.
I'll tell you what they're looking for then. They're looking for someone who can do the job that will cost them the least.
I'm
you coming in with 5 years
for.
Of experience, you that bait, 5 years of experience doing the exact same job, to me says you're coming in looking for much more than what I'm willing to tolerate. If I can find somebody to do the exact same job that you do, or maybe a little bit less, and I can train them up or coach them up a little bit here and there, and I can pay them less, that improves their bottom line. That's all they're looking for.
Right. They care about the company more than they care about the people they hire.
Exactly. Because the people that they hire actually sustains the company.
Right.
And the way they sustain the company is by balancing that budget, inflow versus outflow. If it costs
so,
me...
So can I jump in with you guys here?
Sure.
Go ahead, Don P.
All right. And this goes back to my rebuttal that I was going to actually say right before we went to break. And I'm not sure what the gentleman's name is, but he said he owns a business. And he was saying that, you know, $15 an hour would, you know, greatly impact his business, you know, and would probably put him in a bad situation, which I can understand that. But the problem with that particular situation is we're looking at it from a small business aspect, and really, in all actuality, the majority of the people that are providing jobs, that are hiring these people, are major corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems that we have right now in this country is with major corporations, their profit outtake is probably 100 times what they're putting out to run that particular business. So it's like at some point in time, you have to have some balance in there. That's why that business can pay her $11 an hour, but at the same time, I can guarantee you they're probably doing anywhere from, I say at the lowest, $1,300-$1,400 a day in revenue.
I agree
and
with
it's
you.
Like no one wants to monitor the major corporations, because that's what it's really about. It's not about the small businesses. It's actually about these major corporations that's taking advantage of people like the young lady on the phone and these students and the different people they hired to work these jobs. They're making tens over folds over profit. They just want to be greedy and don't want to share the profit.
Right.
As a company, they don't have to share the profit. This is what y'all don't understand. They don't have to share a dime with you. This is the breakdown.
Government regulation.
This is the breakdown. There's no law that says the government has that government's going to tell you that you have to share, you know, 20-30% of what you make in there because you own a business. That's not how this thing works. You're an American capitalistic society. You're going to have to go to work. Now, I understand, and it doesn't have to be fair, but you know what? The majority of the world that you live in right now simply isn't. This is going to have to be a pill we're going to have to solve. But you need to understand how this thing is really going to happen. They don't owe you a dime other than what they're paying you to do. If the workload they're giving you, if the fair market value of that job goes up to, let's say, that $15 an hour, and that's just a fictitious number, you're going to find a lot of people going to get closed out of those jobs because they're going to find somebody that they're going to consider as higher qualified to soak up that job.
Well, now that I think not so much, you're going to have some people that will step up to the plate or are able to step up to the plate and or have a different mindset when their
right.
salary increased from $7 to $15
an hour. I agree. You're going to have some. You're absolutely right.
You're going to definitely have. I mean, that's with anybody. You could take me right now. You pay me $7 an hour, and you pay me $15 an hour. I'm going to value that $15 an hour job
right.
more than I'm going to value
exactly.
that $7 an hour job.
That's you.
Half of the problem with, because you're going to pay for it any way it go. The only difference that's happening right now, I know you're saying, oh, we're not entitled to anything. The world is not fair. The only thing that's happening right now is the major corporations are getting over on the middle class and the lower class as usual. And then they're getting over on us twice.
Number one,
because I'm going to explain it to you. Number one is because they don't want to raise the minimum wage. They want you to work for pennies. Over the dollar, all right. So basically, what happens with that? The only people that's paying for it is me and the middle class, and the lower class. We're the only ones paying for it, because what happens is when these people are getting paid $7 an hour, the majority of them is not going to invest their time into working a job, which means they're going to go to government assistance. When they go to government assistance, when they can't pay their bills, then the extra slack that needs to be taken up in their living wage. We taking up that. We're paying that in taxes, and they're getting it in governmental assistance.
Right. I said that
that's
don't
the only
break.
Thing that's happening. And the only one that's getting over is the major corporations. Well, that's the only people that's getting this, over in the situation.
If you increase the minimum wage, see, my company, I pay more than $15 an hour, so I see what you're saying, but it doesn't affect me on that level. But if you increase the minimum wage at that level, a lot of your smaller companies are going to get absorbed by the larger companies, and they're going to continue doing the same
thing. Not necessarily. They're going to figure out a way to make it work. They're going to increase whatever their product or service that they provide. And you will have people...
If they provide a good quality service or product, what's going to happen is they should make more money because it's going to be more people in that community, in that area, that have extra money to spend. So what's going to happen is some of those people who normally couldn't afford to use that service or to buy that product, now they got a little bit of extra money besides paying their bills, and they're going to actually spend some money with this particular business or that particular service.
Excuse me.
And how is it backwards?
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Miera.
What company do you own? You say I pay $15 an hour. I'm trying to work there. I mean, my effort is up to here.
I got you. I hear you. Let's get off the air first.
Okay.
Let's get off the air.
But Dopey makes a very good point. You're going to have people that are going to be able to possibly move out and into a better community, spend their money more frequently for products and things that they normally would not purchase. You know, it makes all the sense. I mean, I think it benefits everybody all the way around. I do. Go ahead, Don P.
I said it does. It really does. It's like there's no way I'm a pretty logistic thinker. I like to look at things from a lot of different perspectives. And the issue with this perspective is there is no possible way that I can look around it. There's no way of looking around not doing this. Now, maybe I'm not sure on the amount. I don't know if $15 is the exact amount. But as far as a raise and the minimum wage, it's necessary. And I think it's necessary to a lot of the problems. That's one of the reasons that you have the problems that you have in the African-American community is because of the lack of the lack economically. You see what I'm saying?
It's the lack of financial literacy. That's what it is. So
okay,
you get the top 10% of the country.
That's part of it. But what financial
that's the major part of it.
Lack of.
See, given the living wage going to $15 an hour, you're gonna find the average individual taking the majority of their money and putting it right back in the economy, back into the hands of the top 10 most wealthy people in the country. Financially, you stay where you are, and the top 10% the producers stay where they are.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
The top 10 money earners in the country spend less than 20% of what they make annually. The bottom portions spend between 85 to 90, sometimes as much as 110% of what they earn annually. They kick it right back into the economy. Who is benefiting from this?
Of course you're going to come up with those numbers when everything that you earn, you got to put it back into the economy because it's taking every cent that you make to live.
That's right. Don P, we got like a minute left.
You ain't got nothing to say.
Okay,
Don P, we got like a minute left. Talk about the inspiration show.
All right, definitely.
Welcome
Tanya Free and friends to Inspiration Radio. Inspiration Radio, 1510 AM, 97.9 FM, is a new faith-based radio station where we focus on spiritual growth. We also focus on health and fitness and power and wealth.
Oh, that's wonderful. I need that.
And we all do.
So those are our initiatives here with the new station here in New Orleans region. Myself, I'm general manager, and anybody that's listening out there, you have programming that you may want to get on the station or you want to do some advertising in the New Orleans area, you're welcome to get in touch with me. And, of course, there'll be a link on the Tanya Free and Friends website. And I look forward to having you guys each and every week on my station.
Well, thank you so very much. We're looking forward to it as well. And I want to let everybody know the music is wonderful. I was checking it out last week and this week. It's great. I like it.
All right.
I really do. It's different and it's refreshing. Is he still there? Thank you, Don P.
Yeah, I'm still there. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the compliments. We're working really hard out here. Also, please, if you're looking to get some inspiration in your life and you want to get it mobily, look for the Inspiration Radio mobile app where you can also catch our live audio streaming, and then actually starting next month we'll be doing live video streaming from the mobile app also. Just trying to move into the newer age. And for the young lady that was on the phone, I'm definitely looking for young people to get involved and be so influential with the station.
Wonderful. She heard you. That's me. <Yeah. laughs> Thank you, Don P. We appreciate it. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our friends. Blessed to each and every one of you. Don P. Of course, Reverend Woodson, James, Uncle Mo, Pete, Miera, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Till next time, be free. Remember that life was a purpose.
I don't hear you. Oh, yes, I do. Okay.
Friends Talk Show is a presentation of Freedom Marketing Incorporated. All rights reserved. Views and comments expressed are not necessarily the views of the host and/or this station.